Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of So Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice, and we welcome you to the show. Today is Wednesday, September the 10th, 2014. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions because that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart. It's a blessing once again to have this opportunity to create support for the learning and the teaching of first century Aramaic forgiveness, the ancient technology of removing from the mind all forms of hostility and fear. And it's quite a powerful process to engage in being responsible for the output of one's mind and to stop the blame game and all of the forms of insanity that go along with blame. By the way, our definition of insanity is a little different than the world's definition. In this work, we define an insane mind as a mind without the active presence of love. And the kinds of behaviors that a mind without the active presence of love will do are pretty bizarre and pretty far-ranging. The rage, the guilt, the grief, the gossip. Gossip is a big one. Talking about other people when no one is present is one of the most destructive forces on the planet because, of course, people in their gossip, in their hostility and fear-based minds, and this is a topic that's just come up recently in discussion, in their hostility and fear-based minds who talk about others behind their backs can say all sorts of things and, of course, say it behind people's backs because the person who's it's being said about isn't there to offer a rebuttal or to offer some input as to the truth. And so we invite the removal of all of these dynamics based in hostility or fear and the restoration to human life, to every mind, heart, and being on the planet. And that's what we're here to support. So we're delighted that you're with us. We are honored and blessed that you choose to join us, and we are doing the best we can do to move it out to every mind, heart, and being on the planet. Jeannie and I will be on the road within the next day or two. We finished our intensive. We had a monumental 16-day session in the Laws of Living, and we'll be heading out of here within the next couple of days. Anyone who's in St. Louis, Missouri, on Sunday will be at Washington University at the Newman Center from 2 to 5, doing Why Is This Happening to Me Again, a free open workshop. And then the following Sunday, we'll be in Woodstock, Illinois, at the Unity Center there, doing a full week of workshops. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday will be free open workshops for anybody that chooses to join us. If you're in the Woodstock, up just west of Chicago, or in the Chicago area and want to come and join us, we'd be delighted to have you. And then we've got some time. We're going to be up. We're working actually on a location up in northern Michigan for a Sunday service the next week, but not sure whether that's going to fall in place. And then we'll be in Grand Rapids, Michigan, doing a similar week to the one that we did in Chicago, and then we'll be in Lansing. We have a 9-day codependence, interdependence intensive starting the 30th of October. If anyone cares to take their work to the next level, we'd invite you to come and join us for that. And as we move the principles of forgiveness forward on a global scale, we're then going to be in, our next city is Bristol, Tennessee, and then from Bristol we head to Wilmington, North Carolina, and then on into Florida. You can touch into our schedule. 99% of the workshops are done free. We're delighted if you have the space to come and join us, and we do have a couple of openings in our calendar for this next winter yet in Florida. So if you've got a group in that direction that would like to sponsor us, we'd be delighted to come. And by the way, when we travel and teach like this, as I say, 99% of our workshops are free, and we pay our own expenses. So we're easy to get to come to your city and present to as many people as we can possibly make the tools available to. So we're delighted that you're with us. And, Dee, do we have Dr. Tim with us? Well, then we'll just say blessings to Dr. Tim, who's not with us yet, but if he comes on, we'll say a quick hello. In the meantime, does anybody have a hand up or anyone conversation going on in the chat room that we need to be aware of? Oh, we got a couple of hands up. Let's say hello. Area code 765, you are on the air. Give us the name. Where are you calling from?
Hi, Michael Genie. This is Sunny from Indiana.
Well, hey there, young lady. Good to hear your voice. How are you? What's exciting in your world?
Well, I missed the opportunity this summer, but I got to tell you, Michael, I had my own little private intensive here. What's that?
I say that's always cool. You know, it's kind of fun in the past when we've been on the road, we'll sometimes have people who tagged along with us, and the comment is that being with us is like being in a full-time intensive, and that's kind of what our world is like, and it certainly is continuously giving the opportunity to process and release and to move through everything that's less than love, and that's, you know, it's like that's, I believe, let me back up a little bit. Of course, our definition of a human life is hold a newborn child. And if that was the only thing we had ever known, I believe that the purpose of life would be simple. It would be aliveness, joy, and creativity. But the minute that we defile our temples, our body-mind units, with something that's less than love, hostility, rage, guilt, grief, and fear, then the purpose of life changes, and it instantly shifts to where its purpose is to kick us right square in the limitation. And isn't it amazing how well it knows how to do that?
Exactly. And I guess I just wanted to, I do have some questions, and I may truly have to, maybe not on the air, or touch base with one of the other teachers who may have more time available. I have been doing the worksheets vicariously for my 15-year-old daughter.
Uh-huh.
And, but still doing my own stuff. And we're still working on a structural issue from some stuff I did months ago. It's recurring. And it is, I thought it was about mother. And, but it's affecting my sleep patterns and so on. But my daughter will come to me, since she lives with her father, every other weekend and one day through the week, complaining of the same exact physical spots. There's like four of them in the spine. And though I'm experiencing my rage and anger and so on and all of those like generational hostilities things, I'm feeling like I'm keeping mine in good perspective with my worksheet process. My daughter, I don't know if this is intentional, but she, we are healing in a very unusual way, and her father is attempting to relinquish some controls basically by her demonstrations of defiance. And my daughter's coming home to me this week, Michael.
Oh, well, and we hold the faith. You know, there's an exercise that we assign to people when they come and do an intense, the codependence. And the intensive we're going to be doing up in Michigan in October is codependence to interdependence. And I've never done this assignment, but with the work that you've been doing, I think it might be interesting. And, of course, you'd have to get out of your head to do it, but what you might find it interesting, in that codependence assignment or workshop, we actually have people do a piece of writing where they go into a meditative state and they write their power person's story in the first person. In other words,
yes.
You need to listen for a minute. I'm not finished. If my person were Dad, I would get into a quiet space, breathe into his space, and write as though I were Dad his whole story from his perspective. And it's amazing because what people find is they start to tune into things that they didn't know that their power person has been through, and it tends to open a huge space. I've never thought of assigning this assignment to a parent and to write it for their child. But it might be an interesting exercise, and I'd love to hear you report back on it if it feels right to you to do, but to just get into that quiet space, breathe into her space, and write her life story, not from your perspective, not from the way you see it, but from the way she sees it. And just let her spirit inform you as to how her life has gotten to where it is now. It would be an interesting exercise. I've never thought of assigning it before, but I'd really be delighted if you'd try that and just report back and see what you found out.
I'd be happy to. Nice to reflect with you, Michael. I'm so grateful to you, and it's still going to take a lot of prayer where her dad is concerned, and I just keep doing the commitment to him, at, you know, vicariously, and
do you
it's
have his picture?
Pardon me?
Do you have his picture?
I didn't hear you then.
Do you have his picture?
Yes, I do, but mostly I'm a very, very visual person, and then he's in touch all the time, you know, and I see him every few days, and I just kind of visualize him, and, ask him just please soften, just let go. And the concern he has in the moment
it might add another dimension to actually speak the commitment to his picture, one. And two, if you're seeing him every few days, to speak the commitment to him personally. Thing to just see what the effect might be, to just say, you know, here's what I've been reading to you on a regular basis, and I want to read it to you personally, just face to face. And here's where I choose to live, here's where I'm moving to, and I'd invite you to do the same. Maybe give him a copy of it. As you read it to him, hand him a copy. And invite him to maybe read it back to you. Who knows? There might be an opening there.
Yes, and I've heard myself a couple of times. It's just regulatory speech pattern where hopefully Rex is listening. The last time I spoke to him, it's been quite some time. He's like, you keep calling her my daughter. My daughter, her name is Markayla. And I was like, yes, this is true. And, just letting go of that possessiveness of her and just really opening that space up for her to be who she is, and some of what's transpired asked me to coach her and advise her, and I could just, all I could offer her is, honey, I did not have that experience that you had. I can't think, I don't know how you think or what you feel, and I'm not going to profess to tell you. And I'm here for you, and, you know, I trust you. And the really beautiful thing I'd like to share in compliance with the past couple of days of the radio show is with a little bit of story. Last spring, my daughter in a circle of her friends were very angry and bitter children and professed to be atheists at that age group because they're very confused that, you know, for whatever reason I'm finding these children being, you know, they're just explaining that they don't believe in God to me. And I'm like, okay, well, I think maybe everybody passes through that, and that's okay. But over the holiday weekend, my daughter came close enough. I was talking to a friend, and I said, I don't know what it's going to take to heal these things between her and her father, but I'm making every effort. We're gaining on it. And my daughter, passively in the background, she just playfully said, Jesus. And that is huge coming out of my child. And I used to be her Sunday teacher, to have her have been so forcefully removed from that through some of their beliefs. And I'm so grateful to all of you, Michael, and grateful for everyone's prayers.
Cool. So, well, two thoughts.
With control issues, but we're healing them, thanks to you. And then,
Two thoughts.
I go get her here in about an hour. And,
two thoughts. One, you know, with Michaela and her friends, one of the things you might want to do is ask them if any of them have ever held a newborn child. And if they have, which some of them probably have, ask them to describe the essence of the newborn. They will describe the newborn as love. If they start talking about their own fear or whatever, you could, you know, invite them to notice that that's about them, but to tap into the essence of the newborn. And then ask them, okay, so you've experienced them as love. Do you believe in love? And, you know, the average kid will say, yes, of course I do. Then let's let go of the whole idea of the theological monstrosity that men have made up called God, and let's recognize that the Creator is love. And just start to move in the direction of your belief in love, and that will heal all kinds of wounds. The other thought I have is that, you know, you missed the Laws of Living Intensive, which you'd hope to come to, but we're actually going to be closer there to home. October 30th, we start a 9-day penance, so you might want to start working toward making the arrangements to be able to do that one if you choose to.
Yes, and I was attempting to chime in yesterday and asking for prayer. I hope I can do that, but Michael, I am going to be the happiest woman on the world if I am busy having to stay home being a mother to my child every day of that particular week and every week for the rest of her life. And it's a process, and we're gonna see how this goes.
Well, probably that's awesome that you're getting that opportunity, and there'll probably be a point to cut the strings and let her go. You probably don't want to actually have her in your home as your child for the rest of your life. There's a time where she's going to move to adulthood or want to move into her own life. But secondly, you know, from what you shared, she might be ready for the tools, and bringing her to the intensive might be a powerful place to be. And we have had parents in the past who've taken their kids out of school and come to an intensive and gotten credit for their child at school for being in the intensive as a learning experience and gotten credit for that. So I'll just throw that out as another possibility.
And which intensive is on the 30th? Which class is that?
It's codependence to interdependence, which is all about relationships. We do why is this happening to me again, of course, which is the reality management forgiveness process. Then we'll go into healing through relationships. And then the rest of the 9 days is dedicated to codependence to interdependence. It'll start on a Friday night just southeast of Lansing. And it'll finish the following Saturday, so it would be a week off of school for her. And as I say, we've had parents before who've gotten education credit for their children doing an intensive. So, you know, who knows what you might negotiate with the school. And something that always amazes me is the genius intelligence that takes this intensive and puts it to work in their lives. It always, always amazes me. And so for her to be able to participate in that might just be the opening that you're looking for. And having that conversation about love, if the Creator is love, let's use that word rather than all the abuses and the battering and the beatings that people have had over men's interpretation of God. And let's start fresh with, can you tap into and accept the existence of love? Okay, so now let's work our lives back toward that, because we're made in the image and likeness of that love, and let's just let go of the rest. Let's forgive the rest. And of course, the Forgiveness process is about removing what never belonged. And what never belonged in this energy field called your daughter, in your energy field or mine, was any form of hostility or fear. The truth is, we were made to be expressions of love. We were made of the expression of love. And that's what's designed to incarnate in our physiology. And that's our work together of getting back to that space.
Yes, exactly. And I thank you very much, because there are people and officials and legal matters and counselors and so on that I appreciate your encouragement to make this effort, and I think maybe the school may be very supportive of that as well.
Awesome.
Many levels, and we'll just see.
All right. Well, we hold the space.
Thank you, everyone.
All right. Take care. Lots of love and blessings. Good to hear your voice. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Anything exciting happening in the chat room? Or I think you said you had another hand on. Oh, Dr. Tim is with us. Well, let's say a hello to Dr. Tim, and how do you be, sir? Dr. Tim? Hello to him. How are you?
I'm here.
How do you be, sir?
I'm doing well. I was in the middle of a discussion with somebody else, so I'm going to go on hold for a minute. I will put my hand up when I'm available.
Oh, cool. Awesome.
All right.
Well,
thanks.
We'll say hello when you're available, and we'll go to our next caller then. Okay. Area code 251, is this Angela?
It is. Hi.
Hey, welcome, young lady. Good to hear your voice. Glad you're back. How can we support you?
Thank you. Well, guilt. I've observed myself feeling, or, you know, wanting to have the experience. And so, yeah. Yeah, imagine that.
What a great worksheet topic. You know, it's interesting. I say, what a great worksheet topic. And it's interesting that we live in a culture to a great degree that believes that if we program people with guilt about something, then people will never do that something. I believe it's exactly reversed. If you program somebody with guilt about something, guilt becomes the energetic amplifier that draws them to that behavior. I know that in a lot of, for instance, church circles, people are, you know, promoted into guilt about infidelity, for instance, and sexuality. And then what happens is the people who've been brainwashed the most to be guilty about such a thing are the people who most commonly do those things. And so certainly guilt is a powerful thing to begin to forgive and to let go of in your life.
Okay. Well, my dad would always walk around telling me, you don't take guilt trips. You don't take guilt trips. You know, and he would always make sure that I knew that, you know, I don't take guilt trips. And so, and I don't know why he did that. I don't know if it was because of the abuse, and maybe he was scared that the family would try to, or someone would try to make me feel like what happened was my fault with sexual abuse.
Right.
So, but I noticed that being under the roof with my boyfriend, feeling guilty for wanting to feel really good, and when he appears to be in pain. So I'm trying to get a better understanding of what's going on and if I'm missing something more.
Good? You find yourself feeling good when he's in pain? Is that what I hear?
Yeah, I am trying to feel really good, and I feel like I'm taking steps to take care of myself, and I feel like he's not doing things to take care of himself, and I feel like if I keep going and doing what I'm doing, I'll feel better and better, and I'm not sure, you know, and so it's almost like he the guilt that he will be left behind, or, you know, and that I should be
doing
more.
Have you invited him alone?
I'm kind of still trying to keep him separate for some reason, so.
Okay.
Probably
well,
because of the pain that I'm working on.
Yeah, you might want to look at, you know, a lot of times when someone's been through sexual abuse, they feel like there's no place safe, and they have to do it on their own. And so they behave in a way that cuts people who would normally support them out of their lives. And so you might want to do a couple of worksheets around the idea of I have to do it alone. Because, you know, one of the reasons for having a relationship is to have that awesome presence of love and support there to work through the issues that come up. And so I'd invite you to look at part of you that maybe needs to be forgiven, that needs to be removed, that you have to do it alone, and that you really create a wondrous, warm space and relationship with him. You know, if this is the person you choose to be in relationship with, that you create a wondrous, warm space in relationship with him where he can be there to support you when your stuff comes up. You can be there to support him when his stuff comes up. And you really create a team together. You know, having to do it on our own is a tough way to live.
Yeah. I've been accustomed to it, but I definitely step outside of living that way, and I do see that. It's almost like, I do see that. It's almost like I'm trying to decide if I want to do that.
Angela, have you been introduced to the Mind Shifter tool that we teach?
No, and my friend Mary Ann, who just got done with an intensive with you guys, suggested that I ask you for a mind shifter.
Okay, well, that's just great minds think alike. What can you say? So
yes.
My suggestion would be to work with a mind shifter, and here's how a mind shifter works. You take a piece of paper, and you divide it down the center of the page, and on the left-hand side of the page, the mind shifter. And then on the right-hand side of the page, you write everything that comes up in response to it. Every thought, every feeling, every sensation in your body, every avoidance thought. So I'll give you the example that I usually give when I introduce mind shifters to people. So a lot of people have difficulties with money. And so my favorite mind shifter for people who have money difficulties is, I always earn twice as much as I can spend. And the first thing that most people's minds think to that mind shifter is, BS, who are you trying to kid? That's crazy. So that's what you'd write on the right-hand side of the page. So imagine this young man, I give him the mind shifter, I always earn twice as much as I can spend, and he's broke. So on the right-hand side of the page, he might write, that's crazy, I've never been able to pay my bills, I never have enough money for what I want, and they're getting ready to repossess my car. So he runs out of things to write, goes back to the left-hand side of the page and writes the mind shifter again. I always earn twice as much as I can spend. On the right-hand side of the page, he starts writing again, are you kidding? That's not true. I come from a family that's always been poor. We've never had enough money to pay our bills. That's ridiculous. And he runs out of things to write. So on the left-hand side of the page, once again, he writes, I always earn twice as much as I can spend. And on the right-hand side of the page starts to write again, look, I can remember all my life, all I ever heard was people struggling over money. My parents never had enough money. There was never enough we sometimes didn't have enough to eat. This is ridiculous that I could possibly earn twice as much as I can spend. I remember when I was a kid, the last time I saw my father, there was a big fight over money, and he walked out of the house and never came back. Bingo. Big piece of work to do around dad, money, mom, and breaking up the family, how money impacts relationships. So that would be the way to use a mind shifter, and then go back and look at what's written on the right-hand side of the page and start to do some worksheets around, like, for instance, with this example I just used, I invite this young man to do worksheets around money was the reason that he lost relationship with his father. Money was the reason his family broke up. So that would be how you'd use the mind shifter. So the mind shifter I'd offer you for that situation that you're talking about with your boyfriend is, it's safe and healing for myself and whatever his name is to be in total communication and loving support of each other while we share everything in our lives. It's totally safe and healing for myself and whatever his name is to be in total relationship and complete loving communication.
Okay.
Around everything that comes up in our lives. And so create a space of at least 2 hours. Your cell phone is off, the television's off, you're totally in your own space. Maybe there's some quiet Baroque music playing in the background. And just write that mind shifter, write everything, every thought, every feeling. When you run out of things to write, write the mind shifter again. You might write it 2 or 3 or 10 times. And the idea is just to do a brain dump. You know, the mind works by the law of resonance. You know, if I say don't think about the color of your car, what fires in brain cells? The color of your car. So when you use a mind shifter, what that does is it activates or resonates the hidden parts of the mind, and you write it often enough, and finally those hidden dynamics start to come forward and dump themselves out on the page. Once you can see the hidden dynamics in your mind out there on the page, then you can begin to change them and do something about it.
Oh, wow. That's amazing because, you know, a lot of times, I mean, I don't remember the dynamics, you know. I try to think back and nothing comes to me. So that's an amazing tool. That's great.
It is a really wonderful tool. It really opens some wonderful spaces. And then you take the rest of the tools that we teach when you see what's surfaced and you apply them as necessary. Like, for instance, I don't know if you're familiar with the relationship commitment. If you look on the website, there's a thing called My Commitment that you can download free. And I'd invite you to take that into your relationship with your boyfriend, print him a copy. You have a copy. Read it to him. You know, that's what we were just talking about with our last caller, to read it to her former husband's picture and to start to work with that. I know we had a man at a Healing Through Relationships workshop. This is a couple of years ago now down in Florida. And after the workshop, he was back talking to Jeannie at the tape table and telling her that, you know, he and his wife were in the process of divorce. You know, there was nothing but anger and rage between them. And it was too late, so this commitment would be a waste of time. And Jeannie took the copy of the commitment up and handed it to him and said, well, here, you've got nothing to lose. It will cost you nothing. Try it. Read it to her every day and see what happens. This gentleman called her 2 or 3 weeks later and said, you're not going to believe this, but not only are we not talking about divorce, but it's like my wife and I are on our second honeymoon. This is just monumental what happened. And she said to him, well, you know, when you read it to her, does she read it back to you? And he kind of was a little bit, you know, had a little bit of a stutter in his voice. He said, well, what do you mean? Well, when you read it to him, does she read it back to you? He said, she doesn't know I'm reading this. He's going in the back room and reading it to her. And there's a total transformation in their relationship. We had a teacher in Florida who heard Jeannie share that story, and she had a client who had a son who, when he got married, he had lived with her until he got married and then totally disappeared, like he fell off the face of the earth. And it had been 10 years since her son got married, and she had heard his voice. No communication whatsoever for 10 years. So she suggested to him, or to her, pardon me, that she read the commitment to her son's picture. 3 days later, there's a knock on her door, and there's her son.
Oh, wow.
So it's an opportunity, you know, as you look at that that tool of the mind shifter, you know, if you see where there's been some, you know, negative communication or negative energy between you, that can be the place to do a worksheet. That can be the place to pull out the commitment and read it and start to use it to really create a space of trusting, supportive, nurturing relationship. That's what they're for. Now, I know the world has all of kinds of crazy purposes for relationships, but as actual human beings, we are designed to be in loving connection with each other. And that's what we'd support you creating with your boyfriend. And anybody else who's listening, I don't care how much water is under the bridge in your relationship. Of course, you can't control what somebody else does, but if you shift the way that you speak and act in relationship, if you truly start to function as a human being, chances are what you're going to see is a positive response, and it's pretty awesome when that happens.
Wow, that's really powerful. That's great. I'll print that out today and share that with him. So, great.
Cool. Awesome. Well, anything else we can support you with?
That's it for now. Yeah. I greatly appreciate your thoughts and what you guys do. So just thank you so much.
All right. Good night and blessing.
Thank
okay.
you.
Take care. Thanks for the call.
I have a feeling we'll see it again.
Keep it posted.
Keep it posted on how it goes. Sweet. Thank you.
Okay, blessings. Take care. Bye-bye.
Same here. Bye.
So, gee, how are things going in the chat room? Anything exciting there to talk about?
Sure. One of the things is Nene is on there. She said she can't talk, but she's listening to the show and she's in the chat room.
Cool.
And she is doing a Why workshop this coming Saturday, September 13th, at New Age Books and Things on Federal Highway in Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Awesome. Well, let us know, Nene, and we'll post that on our website. Send us a flyer, and we'll put it up on our website so that anybody who taps in that's in Fort Lauderdale will know about it. And, you know, maybe call back into the show on Thursday, Friday. Just keep us posted and reminded that it's happening, and that's awesome. You know, we're going to be doing a special teacher's training in Florida in April. We're actually going to do a 20-day teacher training. It's usually a 17-day, but we're adding 3 extra days. And, you know, the personal code evaluation that you've done when you came to Heartland, we now have digitally, and it's online, so we're now making it available to teachers. And that particular teacher training would add an additional 3 days of training to go over the personal code evaluation so that as teachers, those who choose to use it will be able to interpret and understand how to use that, and it's an awesome tool. In fact, I've thought about putting it out on the radio show for anyone who might want to do the personal code evaluation. It breaks down. It's a series of questions based on what's called the MMPI, which is kind of the gold standard of psychological testing. And what it does is it breaks down one's personal code into 10 different areas, and in doing that, when you're working with someone, it gives specific areas where the most healing and the most gains can be made. So you might want to just take a look at that on the website, Nene, and think about whether that might be something appropriate to do. Of course, the 20 days in April will be a 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again, which is the prerequisite to teacher training. And then there'll be the 9-day teacher training itself. And then there are going to be 3 additional days, which will also be possible to come and do those 3 additional days. And that can be a way that you can really support your clients in really understanding where their blocks are. You know, in the same way that when I look out through my eyes, it looks like I can see fully in the range that my eyes go, but we know scientifically that in the one spot in each eye, there's what's called a blind spot, where the optic nerve comes into the eye, nothing is seen, but the brain fills that in, and it's called a blind spot. And everybody has one, but nobody knows it unless they've looked into the science of it, because you can't see it. When in our personal code we have holes like that, there are blocks that we can't see. And what the personal code evaluation does is it gives people feedback on where their blocks are, where their blind spots are. And then in as part of that, there are assignments for, okay, here's how you can best handle that particular issue that there's a block on. So, Jeannie? Tim, Dr. Tim, how do you be, sir?
I'm doing well, thank you. Busy day here.
What's exciting in your world?
Well, just one thing that came to mind when you were talking to the woman about guilt is that this is just so pervasive in my work. People come in and they are so horrified with themselves, the horrible things they did. They've ruined their marriage, they've ruined their children, they've ruined their life, etc. And I listen and I try and get a good picture of what's going on, and one of the first things I have to try and do if I'm going to get them to heal in any way at all is to drop the guilt and to stop the guilt-producing belief system and thought pattern. And there are times when people literally want to fight back against that. They do not want to give up their guilt. They want to fight to hold on to their guilt. And they're operating from the belief system that they were trained under that says, guilt and shame are really important. Without them, we wouldn't be able to live together in a communal environment. It's the only thing that keeps us from stealing other people's things and murdering people. And I have my work cut out for me every time I run into somebody like that. And I try to explain to them that you can prove it to yourself by going to any 12-step meeting, NA, AA, CA, and interview people who've done these things that they feel horrible that they did them, and ask them, so did you ever do it before this time? Oh, yes. And did you feel guilt after the first time you did it? Oh, yes, horrible guilt. And then did you do it again? Oh, yes, I did it again. And I felt even more guilt the second time, which led to the third relapse and the fourth relapse. And so you can see in these places where people promote guilt, when you can just look in our culture that promotes so much guilt, and very easily observe that the guilt does not lead to healing and abstinence. The guilt leads people into a downward spiral of negative emotions and feelings, which eventually they feel so overwhelmed by, they, you know, most people get triggered into trying to escape from it in one way or another, one behavior of choice or drug of choice to numb themselves out or avoid the feeling, and the cycle repeats itself. So I couldn't agree more with what you were saying, that it just, as a psychologist, it's practically a daily issue that I have to run into, especially if I have 8 or 9 people I'm seeing in a day. At least one, maybe 3 or 4 of them, are going to have guilt issues, and they're going to be stuck in that counterproductive pattern of bathing themselves in these negative beliefs and thoughts and guilt-producing thoughts. And it's just that we have to break that cycle. We have to help people understand that doesn't lead to health, to healing, and loving and respectful behaviors. So that was one thing.
Hey, I'll certainly second that. Has it been your experience, Tim, as I've observed it, that the guilt usually comes before the behavior, and it actually becomes the energy that attracts people to behavior? That's how I've observed it.
Yeah, that's part of what I'm saying here, is that the more guilt I have, the more likely I am to go relapse.
Yeah.
That doing the acting out behaviors in one way or another is my attempt to escape from the pain of the negative beliefs and the guilt that they generate.
for sure.
Anything else exciting
to share? Any themes you're seeing in your practice today? We haven't talked about themes in a while.
Well, we had our support group last night, and it was a smaller group. There were quite a few people that had been coming as newbies, and they didn't come last night. So I took the opportunity to play the first part of the Mind Shifters radio show, what will be 2 weeks ago tomorrow, where I presented the worksheet I did. And it was very fruitful. All kinds of stuff got stirred up for people. And it was a really good opportunity to talk about how this work is about the work. This work is not about the fabulous Dr. Rice or the great and powerful Dr. Tim or the incredible Rex or the fancy Michelle. It's about the work. And if I can pick up these tools and apply them to my life and they help me, it doesn't matter whether Dr. Tim, you know, drinks coffee or goes out drinking at night or never does another worksheet as long as he lives. If the tools are there and I've learned about them and I apply them to my life and they make my life better, that's all that counts. If I go into denial and I don't want to agree that I've been triggered and I'm trying to shout somebody else down because I think that they aren't listening, that doesn't really affect anybody else's ability to recognize when they're triggered and to apply the tools to dismantle what doesn't belong in their life. And
I agree.
So it was a wonderful time to talk about that. And then we had one member who had been really triggered earlier in the day, and she called, or she asked if she could do a worksheet, and so she did a worksheet and got loving support from everyone there, and it was another wonderful learning, healing experience in that support group. So, again, my gratitude for everybody who has attended and given their energy to that work, and especially for those who have the courage to look inside when they get triggered rather than follow the conditioning of the culture, which says you look outside when you're triggered.
Big learning to do that one, isn't it?
Well, it's been one of my biggest challenges anyway. The good news for me is, though, I don't know if I said it yesterday or the day before, but it just came to me as I was listening yesterday. The good news is there's no bad news.
Right.
The bad news is you have the infinite capacity to pretend that there's bad news.
And yeah, you did share that yesterday. I thought that was a pretty awesome thought, and there is that infinite capacity to keep making up the bad news. And, of course, it's interesting that virtually everybody, as they make up the bad news, it's all about what somebody else did. It's never about them. If it's good news, it's theirs. You know, my favorite kind of tongue-in-cheek line is, people love to be acknowledged as creators when things are going well, but when they're not going so well, they know whose fault it is, and it's always somebody else's.
Well, I love the way Guy Finley talks about it. Sometimes he gets on a rant and he says, isn't it absolutely ridiculous that we have to try and teach people that there is no such thing as bad self-knowledge?
Yeah.
How could something about me that I've already lived through and I've already labeled and categorized and decided to hide from myself, how could that be something that's too much for me to handle?
Yes. Yeah, I'm in agreement with him on that.
And another thing he says is, the only thing that will ever keep a person from being or doing all that they can be or do in this world is what they have yet to understand about themselves.
Yeah, I love Carl Jung's way of saying it.
Go ahead.
I love Carl Jung's way of saying it, that we do not become enlightened by imagining images of light, but by bringing our own darkness to the light. And, you know, the genius, I am so appreciative of the fact that I got to engage in the genius of this gentleman, Yeshua, from 2,000 years ago, who understood exactly how, in every circumstance, to bring the darkness to the light. It's just so amazing, so amazing.
Well, so that would be my offering for today and the themes that I've been working with.
Cool. Well, let's see if Jeannie's got anything happening in the chat room or if there's anybody else with a hand up. Our call-in number, of course, is 646-200-4169. Jeannie?
Well, Peace and I were just chatting, and I'm getting an echo here. We're just talking about how everything is in alignment when we listen to what's going on inside, that we get the clues of what we need to really become aware of and pay attention to.
Peace, how are you doing, young man? I know you had some challenges. We've been holding the space. We think of you often and see you coming up the other side, flying in shining colors.
I'd asked him earlier, and he said that he was doing much better and feeling good. And
awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, we certainly...
Well, I don't know about you, but I lost Michael. Are you there, Michael? Are you there, Jeannie?
Oops. I was suffering from the mute button challenge, and I was just saying to Peacemaker that it's interesting that this conversation has been going on for about 4 years, and we've never met him face-to-face, and we certainly delight that he joins us almost every day and holds us in a blessing, and Peacemaker, we certainly hold you in a blessing, and in total, complete, 100% well-being.
And he said, thank you for the connections that we all share with him and that so far the elements are on his side.
I don't even know what part of the country he's in. Where are you, Peacemaker? We're hoping he's typing. I guess, where? Montana. You know, we haven't gotten out to Montana in... Actually, I don't think I've ever done a workshop anywhere in Montana, but we'd love an invitation. If there's a group big enough to get us there, you know, next year, the latter part, after our summer season at Heartland in 2015, we'll probably be heading west. So, you know, basically what we do when we travel is we accumulate requests for workshops, and then we look at, you know, we usually hop in the van and we go in a zigzag line everywhere we possibly can to catch every group that we can possibly catch. So depending on where our tour will go after our summer season next year at Heartland, we'll see if perhaps Montana might be a direction, because there's a group out there that would like to sponsor us. And, you know, basically when we come and do something like that, we're free. We pay our own expenses and the workshops are free. If there's a large enough group, we usually add a mind shifters and still point breathing and all day workshop, and there is a fee on that one. But otherwise, all the travel workshops we do are free. And you know, our commitment is and our desire is to give it away. Let's get 7.5 billion people understanding what first century Aramaic forgiveness means. So we'll see if that's something that might be a possibility. I mean, Matt Jeannie, is there anything else exciting happening, or anybody else with a hand up? I think we're down to about 8 minutes or so. So 4 minutes.
Oh, really? Okay.
4 minutes. Time flies when you're having fun. Well, there's not another hand up. Dr. Tim, anything else on your mind or anything to share with us in the last 4 minutes? I guess not. Maybe we lost Dr. Tim. But,
are you there?
Oh, there we are. Yes, we're here. Jeannie said she pushed the wrong button.
Well, I was just saying we're just looking forward to your arrival here on the 20th or 21st, and we're trying to spread the word and get people to understand the tremendous benefit to these free seminars you're offering, and get the word out there and see if we can improve on the attendance we had 2 years ago when you were here, or a year and a half, however long it's been. I think it was in the spring of 2013.
It was right before I graduated.
Yeah, we went from there to Jeannie's graduation, where she got her degree as she walked with her 4.0 cum summa laude graduation. It was pretty cool. So yes, we look forward to being there, and we're appreciative of Joy creating a space for us to stay, and so we'll be heading in that direction before you know it. And of course, we've got a stop on Sunday in St. Louis. We'll be at Washington University at the Newman Center from 2 to 5, doing Why Is This Happening to Me Again, if anybody's in St. Louis. And then from there, we'll be on to Grand Rapids. There's a Spiritual Unity of Nations conference happening, and we're keynote speaker at that. And then the following week, we'll be at Unity of Grand Rapids and Unity in Lansing. And then time will be flying right along. We'll be doing a 9-day codependence to interdependence in Pinckney, Michigan. We've got a really beautiful facility that's kind of out in the boonies. There's a small community that has a really beautiful big community building with these huge white pillars in front of it. It's quite colonial looking. It's on a lake, and so we've got a residential space with a nice big kitchen and beautiful teaching area. I think we can accommodate about 20 people for that intensive, and so we're looking forward to being in Pinckney and then heading to Bristol and doing a week at Unity in Wilmington. We haven't been there in 2 years, I think, so we'll be back in Wilmington and then heading to Florida. So things are rocking along. Lots happening all over the globe with the forgiveness process. It's pretty exciting. And so, Jeannie, anything else happening as we wind down the last minute or two? No? Okay. Well, then we just invite everybody to pass the tools along. You know, Dr. Tim shared with us so many times the benefits of a support group, and I'll offer that, you know, for me, the most wondrous gift that I've ever given myself is to take on the teaching of this work full-time, which makes me a full-time student of it. And so I love what Richard Bach says, we teach best that which we most need to learn. And so we're in the process of learning on deeper and deeper levels what forgiveness actually means. And we're delighted to have the opportunity to share it with anyone and everyone who participates. And in the meantime, we invite everybody to bring a stranger to the show tomorrow, of course. Click on the website, www.whyagain.org. If you hit the bullseye, all the tools are there. You can download MP3s of the radio show where we've walked people through the forgiveness process. Our schedule, all the flyers are there. And Danae, please send us that flyer so we can put it on the schedule. And so Danae will be in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, coming up this weekend, right? This weekend during Why Is This Happening to Me Again. So thanks for being with us. Have a blessing. And pretty strange to be so tomorrow. Create the best year you have in eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com. Evolving continuously.